Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Ventures of David as King over Israel, as we pick up in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
It came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time that the kings go out to battle, that Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon, and came and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem, and Joab smote Rabbah and destroyed it. Now in the previous chapter, we noticed how that the people of Ammon had disgraced David's men that he sent to comfort the king at the death of his father. And they disgraced David's men, sent them home in a shameful state. And so it perpetrated the war. They then called for the Syrians to come and help them. And how that in two separate battles, the combined forces of the Ammonites and the Syrians were defeated by Joab and the army. However, there was not a full victory. The city of Rabbah was not taken. They would retreat to the city. The walls of the city were such that it was not a wise kind of a venture to try to take the city of Rabbah. But at the end of the year, and it's interesting, there are times, especially in those days, which were more conducive for warfare. You don't want to fight when you've got to harvest crops. You don't want to fight when you have to plant crops. But while the crops are growing, the women can tend the crops so you can go to war. And the weather is nice. If you have to sleep out, you know, you're not going to get all wet from the rain. So they wouldn't fight in the wintertime. It was muddy and sloppy. You don't want to fight in those conditions. But summertime, the crops are growing, and, you know, you can spend your night out in the open and all and not worry about getting wet. And so the time to go out to war. So the kings go out to battle, and Joab led the armies of David, and they captured the capital of Ammon. And they besieged the city of Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem. And Joab smote Rabbah and destroyed it. And David took the crown of their king from off his head. And he found it to weigh a talent of gold. And there were also precious stones in it. And it was set upon David's head. And he brought also exceeding much spoil out of the city. He brought out the people that were in it, cut them with saws and harrows of iron and axes. Even so dealt David with all the cities of the children of Ammon. And David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Remember, we'll find in a couple of chapters that because of David being such a bloody man in wars and so forth, God refused David the desire of his heart to build the temple for God. Here we see some of this kind of cruelty. It came to pass after this that there arose a war at Gezer with the Philistines, and they killed Sibekai, the Hushathite, slew Ziphi, who was of the children of the giant, related to Goliath, and the Philistines were subdued. Then they had another war with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, slew Lami, the brother of Goliath, and another war in Gath. And there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. He also was a giant who was slain in that battle. So it evidently was, there was a family of big fellows. And But when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, slew him. And these were those that were born unto the giant in Gath. They fell by the hand of David and by his servants. Now Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. An interesting verse of scripture. How that Satan put in David's heart a desire to number the men of war. Now, behind the desire to number them is probably a thing of pride. There's really no need to know the number of men that you have available for battle. But it would seem that David's pride was involved in this whole issue. And though Joab and his other counselors advised him against it, David was adamant in his intention of taking this census. But the scripture points out that it was behind the whole thing, Satan was standing up against Israel, and he was the one that provoked David to number Israel. We have all of us experienced the pressure of being tempted by Satan to do things that are not pleasing to the Lord. And so often the area that Satan comes to us at is the area of pride. And David, king of Israel, becomes really the prey to Satan's guises as Satan puts it in his mind, provokes him, and that's a little stronger than just put in his mind. The Hebrew word literally means enticed David to number Israel. But lest you go to the stone pile to pick up stones to throw at David, I would just suggest that he that is without sin, let him throw the first stone. He who has not succumbed to the enticements of Satan somewhere along the line are the ones that would be qualified perhaps to throw the stones at David. But it's amazing how good judgment can go out the window under the heavy enticements or temptations of Satan. And here, though he has good counsel by his friends, David forsakes their counsel. He holds to the intent and orders it to be done. David said to Joab, to the rulers of the people, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba to Dan. Bring the number to me that I may know it." So this is an abuse of power. Joab answered, "May Jehovah make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why does my lord require this thing? Why will you be a cause of trespass to Israel? Why would you put this sin upon the nation of Israel by numbering them? The Lord had promised Abraham that he would make his seed like the sands of the sea, which could not be numbered." They took this as an edict from God as to not take a census. May God just multiply the seed so they really can't be counted. And yet David now, in his pride or whatever, wants to know, just how many men do I have available? And so we read, the king's word prevailed. And that was a tragic day for Israel. "Wherefore Joab departed, and he went throughout all of Israel, and he came back to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all of Israel were 1,000,000 or 1,000,000, 100,000 men that drew sword. So 1,100,000 men of all of Israel. And from the tribe of Judah, there was 470,000 men that could draw the sword. Now, Joab didn't count the tribe of Benjamin. It was a small tribe. Nor did he count the tribe of Levi. For the king's word was abominable to Joab. He was dragging his heels all the way. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I've done this thing. But now I beg you, do away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. So God began to plague Israel. And David prayed unto the Lord, Lord, I'm the guilty one. I have sinned in that I have done this. Now take away the iniquity of your servant, because I have done very foolishly. How many times I think we've come to God with the same kind of a prayer. Lord, I have sinned. I've done foolishly. Take away my guilt. And how thankful we are for Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. There is a verse in Hebrews that Satan so often uses to club Christians to death with. A couple of passages, one in the 6th chapter and one in the 10th chapter, that talk about our sinning willfully after we've come to the knowledge of truth. And there remains no further sacrifice for sins at all. And Satan uses that to club people to death. I have a letter, on an average of one a month. And I have people come up on the average of two a month who feel that those passages refer to them and they've committed the unpardonable sin because they sinned willfully after they had come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's a passage that Satan often uses to bash people with. We have all of us sinned after coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. John, writing his epistle to those who believe, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that you might know that you have eternal life. In this epistle that he writes to the believers, he declares, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth isn't in us. If we say that we haven't sinned, we make God a liar. And after coming to the knowledge of the truth, we have all been guilty of sin, and many of us of willful sin. We knew what we were doing was wrong. The Spirit convicted us of it before we ever did it. The case in Hebrews is, of course, one where he was writing to those who had grown up in the Jewish faith, who had taken their sacrifices faithfully to the priest, their sin offerings, who came to the glorious knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he is our sacrifice. He is the sin offering. He has put away our sins once and for all. And if they should try to go back to taking a lamb to the priest, there remains no further sacrifice for sins. The lamb won't do it for you anymore. You've come to the knowledge of truth in Jesus Christ. And that's what the writer of Hebrews was referring to, but as I say, Satan uses that as a Christian basher many times, trying to make us feel that God won't forgive. David, his was a willful sin. Lord, I have sinned, and confession, I have done very foolishly. The Lord spake to Gad, who was David's seer, David's prophet at this point. And he said, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord. You have three choices. Choose one of them that I might do it to you. So Gad came to David and he said, thus saith the Lord, choose either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be destroyed before your enemies while that the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore, advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. So Gad came to David and said, David, the Lord has given you three choices for your punishment, for your sin. Now remember, David is under the law. We're under grace. Thank God Jesus took our guilt, our sin, the punishment for our sin upon himself. But the Lord gave David three choices. You can have 3 years of famine. That's stretching it out a long time. You can have 3 months where your enemies will defeat your troops. Or you can have 3 days, the hand of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and pestilence against the land. Well, David made, I think, the wisest choice of the three. If you're going to have punishment, let's get it over with. And David, in his response, said, that's tough. It's hard to decide. I'm in a great strait. But let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. Don't let me fall into the hand of man. God is more merciful than man. God is more gracious than man. When I've made a mistake, or when I have sinned, God is far more gracious than man. So David chose to receive the punishment directly from God. I don't want man. I know that God is merciful. So I'll submit myself to God's judgment. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel. And there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Here he had numbered to boast in the army, and God's going to start cutting it down to size. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld and repented him of the evil. And he said to the angel that destroyed, it's enough. Stay now your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. David lifted up his eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. Boy, don't you know that must have been something awesome? They know that the pestilence is going through the land. They know that people are dropping like flies all over the land. And so David puts on sackcloth, ashes on his head. It's a sign of affliction, afflicting himself. Ashes on your head. It's a sign of great mourning and repentance. And David and the elders are there before the Lord repenting. And David looks up in the sky and he sees this angel of the Lord between earth and heaven standing, and his sword is stretched out over Jerusalem. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I, it is, that have sinned and done this evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. How heavy that must have come upon David. My sin has caused such grief. Of course, that's the price of leadership. No man really sins unto himself. Your sin has an effect that goes out and out, and others are hurt and affected by what you do. And don't deceive yourself into thinking, well, I'm the only one that is hurt by this. Many, many, many are touched and hurt by it.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse venture through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply calling 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today, online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you and guide you as you go this week, as you face the many temptations. May the Lord give you strength, and may you walk and live after the Spirit, and may you respond after the Spirit. In the temptation, may you not yield to the flesh and react after the flesh. May your life be pleasing unto God as our actions come into harmony with our declarations of what we believe. May we show it in the works that we do. In Jesus' name.
Life was easy for Charles Tex Watson, but it didn't feel complete. Something or someone was missing. So Tex looked to fill his emptiness, and his search led him right into the arms of Charles Manson, forever linking him with one of the most gruesome and cold-blooded crimes in history. The Word for Today presents the DVD, The Power of Forgiveness, The Tex Watson Story. Watch and listen to Pastor Chuck as he interviews Susan LaBerge, the daughter of murdered victim Rosemary LaBianca, who was killed by Tex Watson. And when Susan came to Christ, she knew she had to forgive everyone in her life, and that included Tex. See how this dramatic story of God's mercy and forgiveness will challenge you to forgive the unforgivable. For more information on how you can order the Power of Forgiveness DVD, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.